Just as perhaps a few more people come in, just so we can make the session hopefully as helpful for you as possible, can you just stick your hands up if you're already doing one-to-ones with anybody at all in your church? Keep your hand up if you're doing a one-to-one with a teenage person. Great, okay. Can you keep your hand up if kind of one-to-ones are a very common thing to do in your church, or are you considered a little bit maverick for this thing that you do? mildly maverick, if that's possible. Okay, great, that's really helpful. I just I want to make sure it's helpful for you. Just a couple of things. There are these handouts. I think there's also space in your booklets to write if you want to, if you're a writey kind of person. A couple of apologies. I've got a streaming cold, so I will do this horrible sniffing sound every now and then. Just ignore that. Also, I'm an inveterate lectern leaner, and I've worked out this lectern moves downwards if I lean on it. So if I pitch forward, then that's why. And just start off, I'm not assuming that you're here because you're already doing one-to-ones, or because your church does one-to-ones a lot and you like to kind of jump on that particular bandwagon. And I'm not assuming that you're in a kind of a church with nice, private school educated kind of kids. The stuff that I want to sort of think with you about now is stuff that I've used in lots in different settings, and it's not only sort of nice mannered teenagers who I think this can be very helpful for. So just a couple of things to say as we start. Thank you for coming. My name's Carl Afton. I work for the Good Book Company in the editorial department, which is why I consume in the bookstore. I don't know the prices of any of the books. Prior to that, I worked for 4 years for a church in Hull. I worked with 14 to 30 year olds and did a lot of sort of one-to-one-ing. Did a lot of one-to-one-ing up there. And prior to that, I was in a very leafy suburb of London called Highgate, which is sort of millionaires and that kind of thing, but has a very poor area just down the road called Archway. We had a mixture of young people and one-to-ones there as well. So that's a bit about me. Let's pray that this session will be effective and useful for you guys, and then we'll kick off. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, and thank you for the way you've already pointed us to the Lord Jesus through your Spirit. And thank you very much for this time now. We pray that it would be useful, that it wouldn't just be head knowledge, that it wouldn't be stuff which isn't particularly practical. I pray, Father, that each of us would take something from this session which is going to enable us to bring your gospel more to bear in young people's lives. Amen. Okay, very quickly, what is a one-to-one? That's quite important, because if you think it's something else to me, then you're going to find this session irritating. So could you just sort of have a think to yourself for 20 seconds, what would you say a one-to-one actually is? And then after 20 seconds or so, turn to the person sitting next to you, share, disagree, debate, argue, and then I'll tell you what my best stab is, but yours may be better. So 20 seconds to think and then share. Primary school teacher, so I might do that from time to time. That just means back in the room. Somebody want to give me a very brief definition, sort of one sentence definition that you came up with in your pair? Anyone? Yeah.
A relationship centred on the gospel.
Brilliant, lovely, thank you. Anybody feel they can improve? Anybody get anything different?
So meeting up to talk about Jesus.
Hi guys, you're not late and no one's noticed.
Cheers.
Sorry.
Meeting up to talk about Jesus.
Meeting up to talk about Jesus, lovely. Yeah, that's pretty much what I've got. It's annoying, isn't it, when somebody at the front says talk about things and they go, here is the right answer. This isn't the right answer. It's just sort of helpful to define these things. I think it involves three things. Regularly listening to God and speaking to God as two children of God. Regularly listening to God and speaking to God as two children of God. By which I mean I think an effective one-to-one is going to have three elements. And probably it might be the third one that we don't think about as much as the other two, perhaps, I don't know. But it's going to have Bible, because we're listening to God together. And it's going to have prayer, because we're speaking to God together. And it's going to have relationship, and I'm so glad you guys mentioned that kind of relational aspect, because we are children of God together, and we're part of a big family, but we're meeting up as a couple of brothers or a couple of sisters. So that's what a one-to-one is. If you're here and you just realised you thought you were coming to something very different because you have a completely different definition of one-to-one, like, I don't know, marriage or something, then maybe you want to go to a different seminar. But and let me just say as well, I was talking to my wife about this. She does a lot of one-to-one-ing, except she does a lot of two-to-one-ing or one-to-two-ing. She just finds it more effective with teenage girls to meet us with two girls at the same time. So this is less intimidating. Pretty much everything I'm going to say goes for one-to-two-ing, as well as one-to-one-ing. That's what a one-to-one is. So the next question really is, why do it? Why bother with it? Particularly if you're in a church that has, you know, a youth group, they come to church services, maybe you've got a sort of a Bible study group in the middle of the week some of your teenagers come to. Why this one-to-one thing? Could you just, again, get into your pairs or threes and just for a minute come up with as many reasons, good reasons as possible for why bother with these one-to-ones? Pairs or threes, but I've just put a couple of verse references up. You can look those up and think about what are the reasons there that we're given for why one-to-one ministry is a good idea. Now, you know, you won't see the phrase one-to-ones in either of these. They're not specific for one-to-ones. But, you know, it may be that you've already said this in your groups, maybe that they add good reasons to the ones you've already come up with. Just a couple of verses and a couple of minutes to turn it up and think about what this is telling us about why we might be motivated to do one-to-ones. Do move on to that second verse if you're still busily exegeting the exact meaning of the first one. Maybe you can move on. Okay, 20 seconds, so... okay. Can somebody give me a headline of Colossians 3:16? What did people draw out of that as a motivation for this kind of ministry? Don't all jump in.
So kind of thinking about chewing over the Word of God, meditating on it together, actually.
Yeah, thanks. So. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. I don't know if you ever think, if I were a teenager, just kind of, you know, you preach your heart out, you do the best Bible study ever, and it just seems to sort of go in one ear or out the other, or not even in the ear. And actually, I think there is something in that it's as we meet relationally and talk in a very small group, like two people, that I'm sure you find with your own Christian friends, the word of Christ works in a different way. It goes deeper sometimes. As you chat things over a pint, that's inappropriate with teenagers, but you know, so if we're going to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, we're going to need to teach and admonish each other, and we do that primarily in the church, in the whole church context, but also in conversations over coffee after church and sort of intentionally in the week. So that's Colossians 3. Hebrews 10. Somebody else?
Encouraging each other in light of Jesus' return.
Lovely, thank you. We must encourage each other in light of Jesus' return. He is coming back. He is. I mean, it's just so exciting, isn't it? And yet, how often we forget that the Lord Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back in judgment, and he's coming back to save his people, and he really is coming back, and it could be today. Mm-hmm. And how encouraging is that? And yet how easy it is to forget, and that's why the writer of the Hebrews says, don't give up meeting together, to remind each other of that. Now, of course, we always teach that as go to your church on a Sunday morning, don't we? That's what we think of as meeting up together. But I think the verse is much wider than that. It doesn't say don't stop meeting together on a Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock if you're a keenie. It says, don't give up meeting together. And that holds true for one-to-ones. One other that I think I forgot to put on your sheets is, and this is where I think remembering when we're meeting up with younger people for one-to-ones, Philemon 6, Paul just says this. He says to Philemon, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. In other words, it's as we work in partnership with other Christians, as we share our faith, as the old version of the NIV puts it, that actually our own understanding and appreciation of the faith is deepened. And so don't see working in a one-to-one with a teenager as a one-way thing. When I started, I thought it was, you know, me expert, because I was 23, yeah, and you, 14-year-old boy, non-expert, me going to teach you how to live the Christian life. No, no, we both sit under the word of God. And just because one of us is more experienced and, yes, probably wiser and can do more cross-references and stuff, you're going to learn just as much, I think. And there was a wonderful guy named Matt who I one-to-one with, and he was from a non-Christian background and you know, had quite a difficult time in many ways, but we used to one-to-one on a Monday evening. And after a few months, I realised that the weeks one of us couldn't make it, I really missed it. And you know, I hope he did as well, but I know I did, because actually the great thing about one-to-one with a teenager is you're going to become so much more excited and encouraged in your faith, and hopefully the teenager will as well. You're there to learn and be challenged and changed just as much as they are. So can you see that? I guess the exciting thing about one-to-one is you're able to model to a teenager a lot of stuff that they won't really see that much in other contexts. Think about it. A personal Bible study, in a way, you're modelling, aren't you? You're showing how you allow Scripture to change and teach and, yes, rebuke you. You're showing how you apply what you've seen in the Bible actually to what I'm going to do in the office tomorrow or whatever it is. You're showing that giving a time cost to somebody else. You know, I imagine you're very busy, and you're going to have to give something up. Possibly only EastEnders, but you're going to have to give something up if you're going to do a one-to-one with somebody. And you're modelling to that teenager that part of the Christian life is sacrificial. And by doing an hour a week, every week, just for them, you're modelling that. Just a couple more things in the why. Very importantly, really, Jesus' ministry. I'm going to race through this bit so we don't get too far behind. But here's what Jesus does in Mark 3. He goes up a mountainside. He calls to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed them 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. And these are the 12 he appointed, and they're the 12 disciples. Now, you know, Jesus at this stage has a whole heap of followers. But he decides to pick 12 that he's going to minister to in a different way, in a deeper way, if you like, than the, you know, 5,000 guys who got the bread and fish and so on. And then we find later on in Mark and in the other Gospels, so Mark 9, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, just three guys with him, and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. And there he was transfigured before them. Can you imagine being one of those three? His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. It's no surprise that in 2 Peter you find Peter talking about this event, because, you know, it must have been the most awesome experience of his life. At Mark 14, the night before Jesus dies, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "You sit here while I pray." But he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled, and he says, "Don't fall asleep," and so on. But can you see that Jesus' ministry seems to involve some teaching to anybody who'll come, some teaching to a few, and then some teaching to a really small group? Because, you know, you can teach 5,000 people in one way, and you can teach 3 people or 2 people or 1 person in a very different and deeper way. And so effective youth ministry, effective church ministry, I guess, is going to combine sort of, if you like, wide and shallow, if I can put it like that, with narrow and deep. And one-to-one ministry is about that narrow and deep. Don't go home excited thinking, "I'm going to one-to-one with all 20 members of my youth group." That's not what this is about. You'll do it for about 3 weeks and give up. You don't need to pick everybody. It's about that deep work. So that's why I do one-to-ones. I imagine you're already convinced about that because you're here. But I think it's worth just sort of exciting ourselves and motivating ourselves in that way. Now, the next question is, who are you going to one-to-one with? You're not going to one-to-one with everybody in your youth group. It would be wonderful if they were all getting one-to-one with, but you on your own are not going to be able to do that. So who? Well, this is not Bible, this is just my experience, so feel free to disagree with it. But the first thing is, I think, pick somebody who's keen. One-to-one ministry is about bringing keenies further on, not keeping the periphery going. And that's the mistake I made in my first year of youth work. I saw these lads, some of whom have been on summer camp, and they weren't really coming along, and they weren't doing very well, and they weren't bothering to come to the midweek Bible study, and I thought, well, I'll invite them round, and we'll do a one-to-one, and that will keep them going. And it just doesn't work. Because, of course, They don't particularly want to come. They come some weeks out of duty, other weeks, you know, they even decide they'd rather do their homework. You know a teenager doesn't want to come when they say, I really need to do even more homework. And when they did come, you know, they liked the Xbox bit, but they didn't like the Bible bit really, and they weren't really engaged. And so after a year, I gave up on the periphery. I know it sounds harsh, but I gave up, and I thought, I'm gonna focus on the keenies, the guys who are there at the Bible study, the guys who can't get enough of the Bible, the guys who I'm sure are reading the Bibles on their own. And it was great, because they were there every week, and they made sacrifices to get there, and they loved it, and they got so much out of it, and I got more out of it. And, you know, actually, one of the guys who I tried to one-to-one with the previous year ended up one-to-oning with one of the guys I was one-to-oning with. Because, you know, if you're on the periphery, somebody in their late 20s going, oh, come along, it's not going to have that much effect. Your 15-year-old friend who you see every day at school saying, oi, come on, you know this is true, why don't we read the Bible together? That's going to be huge. So actually, if you concentrate on your core in one-to-oning, you may well find that they then start, either to one-to-one with, or at least to encourage and rebuke and so on, the periphery that you were struggling to reach anyway. So bring keenies on, don't keep the periphery going. Be time limited, consider the exit as well as the entrance. Now by that I mean, I think it's a good idea to say to somebody who you're inviting to one-to-one with you, let's do it for this term, or let's do it for 6 weeks. I've got this booklet with 8 studies in, let's meet up weekly, and because, you know, they may not like it. And they don't know they're going to like it before they come. So it's really good for them to think, well, if it is as boring as I think it's going to be with Carl, then at least it's only 8 weeks. It also gives you a get out if you find that actually, you know, something changes in your life or whatever, and you can't do it anymore. They're not going to feel let down because it was only ever for 8 weeks. And then you can kind of refresh it if you want to. You can say to them a couple of weeks ago, look, do you want to carry on meeting up? Feel free to say no, but would you like to? Yes, and on you go on to the next 8 weeks or whatever it is. The other thing, of course, is, you know, up in Hull, by the time I left, I think I had about 45 and in the 14 to 20 bracket, and, you know, I can't meet up with all of them. But what I'd love to do is spend a term with one guy and then go on to another person to push that keenie on a little bit, rather than just meeting with this guy for the next 5 years while no one else gets one, not so many other people get one-to-one. So maybe it's just worth thinking about the exit as well as the entrance. The other thing to say on that, I think, is you don't want them to rely on you. And it's very easy in a one-to-one setting to end up that they go, I'm so glad, I understand the Bible so much more now because I meet up with Susie once a week and she explains it to me. And actually, we don't want them to be relying on Susie. We want them to be saying, Susie has helped me to see how I can understand the Bible. And I could read it for myself, actually. Teenagers are very low on confidence in reading the Bible on their own. And one of the great things about one-to-ones is hopefully once you finish, they will want to carry on reading the Bible and have confidence to do it on their own. For which reason, I would recommend thinking about, if you're going to do one-to-ones, using sometimes something like the Engage Notes, which are for individual teenage Bible reading. But you could do, say, study one together on a Monday, and then say to them, right, you do the next three, and I'll do the next three over the week. We'll meet up next Monday, and we'll do study four, or whatever's realistic for them every day, if you want. That means when you stop, they're going to carry on doing Engage, because they're already doing it. And you've scaffolded it. The building, as it were, building's up, their Bible reading, text scaffolding away, and building's still going. So just think about exit as well as entrance. And on the entrance thing, I would say, always give them the option of saying no. You don't want them there under duress because you're their youth leader and they didn't want to disappoint you, so they've just said yes. You know, just give them time to think about it, give them time to pray about it, and so on. Next thing, don't elitise. By which I mean it's very easy in youth work, as it is in particularly in student church, I think, you have an elite. And they're the guys, what are they doing? They're reading one-to-one with somebody who works for the church or their youth leader or whatever it is, and everybody else isn't. And what does that do? Well, obviously it discourages the everybody else, because, well, when they get picked, is there something wrong with me? And then they're trying to impress you for the wrong reasons. And it damages the elite. So I would say if ever you're one-to-one with somebody and you realise that it's a matter of pride for them, that they've been chosen, do your 8 weeks or whatever and then stop it. Because it's really damaging for young Christians to be puffed up with pride that kind of, hey, you know, my friends don't get to read with Calvin. I do. clearly chosen, clearly going to be an evangelist. So try to make sure, and again, this is where doing it for time-limited periods and moving on and so on sometimes can help with that, because it means you are not having this sort of in-group and out-group. The circles on your sheet are something that I'll just talk you through now. Sorry, I'm talking a lot, but and maybe you could think about it afterwards. This is something we came up with in Hull. There were six of us who ran the sort of 14 to 30 thing, and basically it started with seven. It's very easy for me as a full-timer to get around seven people in a month or whatever. Once you're up to 45, it's impossible. So what we did is we thought about each having three concentric circles for people that we, as, if you like, the leadership team, were particularly responsible for, I suppose you could call it in the ministry sense. So the first is like the periphery. These are people who turn up. They may turn up regularly, but you don't know them particularly well. I don't mean they only come at Christmas, but maybe they're not there every single week. And certainly, you know, you're just sort of getting to know them. You're still at the, you know, what's your favourite subject kind of stage of conversation. You know, who do you support? Or they lost at the weekend, that kind of thing. Your next one is the coffee set. Now, by this, I mean, and in Hull, there was a phrase I only found out when I left. The teenagers called it being coffeed by Carl, which is why I just say to somebody, after school, let's go down to Costa, 5 o'clock, let's meet up and have a chat. And that was a way that I was getting to know them. I was getting to know just them, you know, holistically, but also asking them a little bit about their faith and their family and what was tough at school as a Christian, if they were a Christian, or what questions they had if they weren't, and so on. Just beginning to build relationship with them that wasn't simply saying hello to them at youth group and playing table football with them and their buddies, kind of periphery level. So that's kind of the coffee level. You know, it could be a milkshake, that's fine. And then the middle one was the one-to-one, where I'm meeting up weekly or fortnightly with somebody to do Bible prayer relationally. And the great thing about that is it kind of takes the pressure off, because I think what you can do is you can say, you know, if I'm in a full-time job at the moment, I only have time to meet up with two guys one-to-one in. And I know that I've only got time for two. So I put those into my middle thing. And then I say, I want a couple of people, though, in my coffee area that I'm meeting up with maybe, you know, just once a half term or so. Not to read the Bible open necessarily, but just to sort of chat and get to know them. And, you know, maybe they'll come into my one-to-one inner circle, as it were, at some stage, and one of the one-to-oners who's now reading the Bible on their own really confidently and stuff, doesn't really need me so much, they can move out to a coffee. Or maybe there's somebody on the periphery that I'm thinking, I'd love to bring them, get to know them a little bit more, let's bring them into the coffee area. But it allows you to make sure that you're not just not only concentrating on your two one-to-one people, but equally you are sort of making sure you're sort of moving people in and moving people out. I hope that makes a bit of sense. It's just something we found helpful, and particularly if you're here and you run a youth group or you're part of running a youth group with lots of different youth leaders, we found it really helpful because we had new people coming all the time. It was wonderful, but it was very easy for them to slip through the gaps, because I thought Andy had said hello to him and would follow him up, but I'd said goodbye to him, so Andy thought I was going to follow him up, and suddenly nobody had, and so on. And this made sure that I made sure that everybody who come was in a periphery of one, at least one person who was one of the leaders. So I just sort of pass that on as a way of thinking about it. And it's also worth saying, it's not going to work if you try and jump straight from the outer to the inner. If you've never done one-to-ones and your church has never done one-to-ones, if tomorrow evening you say to somebody, hey, do you want a one-to-one with me? We'll meet once a week, right, for an hour, we'll study the Bible. why not ask them for a coffee in Costa or something? Neutral territory, very easy, no pressure, everybody knows how to drink coffee. And then, you know, do that a couple of times and then say, would you like a one-to-one? And then it's a much easier step for them to come in. Okay. I'm aware that, as ever, I'm running behind.
Can I just ask
a yes, question? Of course, sorry. Would anyone like to ask a question?
Can I ask a question about that? So going back to the previous session about boys and kind of distinctly boys versus distinctly girls, this. So a couple of guys I've got in mind, so what's the point of that? You know, we're going to meet up and have a coffee. Where's that going to go? And I'm just wondering, without the purpose of the Bible study, whether in fact the whole idea of a coffee is just too much, and I'm just sort of throwing it out.
You will know. You'll have a gut instinct. It depends on your character. I'm one of those horrible people that can just talk, so awkward silences, I'll just fill them, that's fine. But you know, so it depends a bit on your own character. And it depends on the lad's character. So there's one lad I was really trying to get alongside in Hull, and actually it was, we moved house. I said, look, why don't you come and shift some boxes? Oh, he loved it. And we talked more then than we had in all my attempts in 6 months up to that point. So, yeah, so the coffee thing is a broad thing. I just mean it's a relationship building. It is probably asking them about their faith and talking about that kind of thing, but it's not a sort of an intentional, regular, weekly thing. Yeah, thank you for helping me to clarify what I meant there. Right, all these things, I'm just going to race through them. What I thought I'd do is I'd download a load of stuff on you, and then you could sort of chew it over and digest later. All these things nearly begin with R, for helping you. How can I have good one-to-ones? Well, the first thing to say is relational time and Bible time. So I was used to think, or still do think, if I've got an hour, I would spend half an hour of it on the PS3, or with one lad playing chess. Because that's what he wanted to do. It's not about what I wanted to do, it's about what he wants to do. And half an hour of Bible time. And you know, don't let the Bible time be squeezed out. But equally, it doesn't work anywhere near as well. If you come in and go, right, Bible's open, off we go, what's your application? Great, pray for each other and off. You need to be building the relationship as well as the Bible time. So relational time and Bible time. Regular plan time. So I just find, again, it's so obvious, except I keep forgetting to do it. Regular means at least fortnightly, I think. Any less than that, and it just, you don't get the go forward, really. Preferably weekly, probably no more than weekly, otherwise they'll come to rely on you too much. And, you know, Monday at 6 is the time that we do it. And yes, you can move it every now and then if you need to or they need to, but I think it's good to have time rather than on every Sunday going, oh, what time do you want to do? Oh, I'm busy that night, you're busy that night, and you never get it off the ground. Read through a Bible book, not your or their topics. I find it very easy to think, oh, look, there's Matt, and he's not coming along to church on a Sunday because he's playing for a Sunday league football team, so all I need to do is hammer him on church and church commitment and sacrificial, you know, giving stuff up for Jesus. So I'm going to pick a load of passages that do that until he leaves the Sunday league football team. And that's an extreme example, but it's easy, I think, to end up picking the things that you want them to know. Or just saying to them, what do you want to think about? Oh, I want to think about, you know, sex and suffering, because that's what we think about for teenagers. So you end up doing topical stuff. I would say read through a Bible book, firstly because it models it to them for their own Bible reading, secondly because you don't know what the Holy Spirit wants to teach to that person. You don't know what the Holy Spirit wants to put in their hearts now, because in 3 years' time, when, I don't know, their father dies, suddenly they're going to need to know that, even though they don't know it now. So I would say go through a Bible book. What I tended to do was say, once I would always pick the first Bible book, and then once we'd done it, I'd say, what Bible book would you like to do yet next? Because that gives them a bit of ownership. They're choosing, but you have put the word Bible book in that sentence. And I would always finish that sentence with saying, I might not say yes for the Leviticus person, because I don't have time to prep a good study on Leviticus. So I'd let them choose within reason. This is where the R's break down. Don't reinvent the wheel. I think a lot of the reason we don't do one-to-one-ings is because we're not confident. And the reason we're not confident is because we haven't done it. And then you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, aren't you? And also we're very busy. You know, and it's much better to do a one-to-one using pre-prepared materials, which are never quite as good as you would have done it, because the person who wrote the materials wasn't you and didn't know the person. But you're still doing the one-to-one, rather than just thinking, you know what, I'd love to do it, but I just don't have time. So things I've used, by the way, this book by David Helm is just on one-to-one-ing in general, and is short and good and biblical. It's mainly for one-to-one-ing with adults, but the principle's obviously the same. Other things, there's this series, which again are written for adults, so the one-to-one thing, but you know, the questions are very simple. You can just flip through beforehand and think, where it says work, I need to say school, and you know, that kind of thing. But you know, these are great because they allow you to do 20 minutes prep instead of 2 hours prep in order to have a good biblical, faithful Bible study. I mentioned the Engage notes. This is the one-to-one Bible reading series. There are two books in the series, normal books, and then there's an evangelistic one that goes through Luke's Gospel. Engage notes or other youth sort of personal Bible study notes, very easy to use in a one-to-one setting. I'd say you probably need to extend them a little bit, because these are for like 10 minutes on your own, not half an hour as a partnership. So you probably want to ask a few more questions and that kind of thing. And again, use group stuff. These are the good book guides, again for adults, but you know, let's face it, teenagers and adults pretty much function at the same level most of the time. We just like to think that we've moved on as adults. So, use these as a basis, you know, just to give you some ideas, to give you some questions, to help you with, you know, getting to the core message of a passage. Embarrassingly, I wrote this one, Real Men. This came out of what I did in Hull. I have a bit of a soapbox about how we treat teenage boys as though they're older children. They're not, they're young adults. And we should treat them, I think, as young adults so that they don't get to 18 and we suddenly go, right, sit in church, listen to a sermon. You've had fun, now go sit in church. And they will leave, of course they do. And plus, we're not dealing with the issues. You know, 13-year-old boys, you'd be amazed at what issues they're dealing with in school. But I think as I grow up, my memory changes, so I forget what I was talking to my mates about at 13 and what I was trying to do with girls at 13. It's like, have you ever found with girls' skirts, guys? They were just as short when I was a teenager. It's just I think they're shorter now because I sort of go, oh, look, that's terrible. That's absolutely terrible. Whereas at the time I was going, oh, wow, look at that. And so I think our memory, we forget just what teenagers are facing, particularly teenage boys. So this is just something that goes through Ephesians, trying to help teenage boys to see what it means to be a Christian man, not just a man who happens to be a Christian on a Sunday. So I would say we've run out of some of these, but just sign up and we'll send them out postage free to you tomorrow. No, I don't mean tomorrow, I mean Monday. I'm sorry that we've run out of those. I'm going to keep going. If you've got questions, then hopefully we'll have a little bit of time at the end. Realise that we don't all learn the same. VAC is a teaching cliche thing, and some people disagree with it, but I think it's quite helpful just to think. Some people learn visually, some people learn orally, so through their ears, and some people learn kinesthetically, so through movement stuff. And, you know, it's worth knowing or trying to think about how your one-to-ones can be most effective for the people you're one-to-oning with. I have one guy who was completely unacademic and, he didn't really go to school because he was always suspended, but he's a lovely lad. And he could learn anything, really, really complicated stuff, as long as it involved movement. So we used to do it in the living room, and we'd have, you know, unrighteousness over here and righteousness over here and a paper cross cut out of a newspaper. It didn't need to have taken much time on the craft side of things. That's a great thing about working with teenagers rather than children. And we would move around and move things from side to side and so on. And he learned it like that. Whereas if we'd sat down with our Bibles just talking to one another, he would have been gone. So it's just worth thinking a bit about that. Some people, my wife learns through images and stuff. She likes to look at an image that helps her to sum up something, or she likes to draw her application, which I find bizarre, but that's what she'll do. So again, just maybe try different things with your teenage one-to-ones and see, you know, which ones seem to light their eyes up. This is where the R's really get a bit tenuous. Wrap up with encouragement and challenge. This is just a suggestion, but I found it really, really helpful, still do, and in my own personal Bible reading as well, just to say at the end, right, what's our big encouragement from this passage? What's our big challenge from this passage? Let's keep it simple, but you know, some teenagers want to hammer themselves every week. They only want to challenge themselves, and they forget grace. They forget the encouragement. Other teenagers, or adults like me, love the encouraging-y bits. I love that Jesus loves me. He's returning, you know, that's great, isn't it? I don't like the sort of holiness, sacrifice, giving things up at the moment kind of stuff. I don't like the challenge. So by saying, and so I've still got some guys who I used to one-to-one with, and we Facebook from time to time, and we always put our ENC at the bottom. We just know that we're going to do it. So, and that's our prayer request to one another and ENC. So that's one helpful thing to do. And always remember, head, hands, heart, by which I just mean one-to-ones are not about stuffing our heads full of knowledge. Just like, you know, nothing should be just about that. It is about transforming our hearts. It should say head, heart, hand, sorry. It is about transforming our hearts as we understand what the Bible says. It's about our hearts being transformed so that our hands would do things a bit differently next week. And by hands, I obviously mean all kinds of things. But that's just worth remembering, I think, particularly if you've got a real intellectual kind of person. They're going to love knowing that, you know, Hebrews, you know, Melchizedek is back in Genesis, whatever it is, and so on. They're going to love being able to tell their friends that, if they've got any. You know, just remember, it's actually about transformation. Not intellectual knowledge. I've nearly finished, which is good because the session's nearly over. Just a bit of sensible stuff, which I know you will know, but clear it with the youth leader, the pastor, or the elder. There'll be somebody who you'll need to clear it with. If you are the youth leader, I still think it's, or the pastor, I still think it's worth telling somebody else. Because you are in a very privileged, very responsible, and very risky, in a way, situation, in that a teenager is inviting you into their life. And you need to be accountable to somebody, and somebody just to be knowing and asking you how it's going and that kind of thing. You know, strange things happen sometimes. And so clear it with somebody. Parents must know. I didn't do this at the beginning. I would write to them. I would say ring them, because then you know that they have, so you've established contact with them, which is great. You can invite them to the carol service if they're not Christians. And then, you know, but you're speaking to them, and then send a letter just sort of setting out what you said in the thing. It's great if you can to have a one-to-one in the teenager's home, particularly actually if they've got pagan parents, because then the parents realise that you're not weird. You know, you're just normal. It's just that you do this weird Bible thing. And you can start to form relationships with the parents as well. And so I had three circles earlier. Ideally, you don't want any, if you're a bloke, you don't want any girls in any of the circles. But I, for example, when I was working up in Hull, sometimes would have a coffee with a girl in a very, very, very public place, and being very accountable to my wife and another guy in the church about it. But just if there was a particular issue that was nothing to do with girl-boy stuff, like, can you explain the Old Testament to me or something, then I might say, let's have a coffee and a meet-up or whatever, and then be trying to pass them on to the most suitable woman. So I'm not saying never in the outer circles, but certainly in the inner circle. I know we know this, but it's so very easy if there's a need to think that you could fill it just for a while, and it's not a good idea. So no mixed sex in this circle. Right. Just to summarise, I think there's a wonderful verse in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8. It says this, we loved you so much, says Paul to these very new Christians, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And I think if you're going to do one-to-ones, why not make that the verse that you kind of do your one-to-ones out of? Because one-to-ones don't happen and don't last unless you love those young people. And I think, you know, I find it very easy to do youth work and to forget to love. But we need to love those young people. They are the people who God has given to us to share his gospel with and to share our lives with. And that is an awesome responsibility and privilege. And one day we'll answer for it to God, how we did it. And wonderfully, Paul says later in the letter of Thessalonians, he says, you know, one day I'm going to stand in glory and I'm going to see you guys. And I'm going to have the amazing privilege of being able to praise God that he used me to win you. And so are we. There are going to be people who become Christians, we pray, under our ministry, or are really encouraged, or go out into the mission field and look back to the one-to-ones as the time when they really got going in their Christian life. And we're going to stand in glory one day and see them. And that's so exciting. So let's love them now. And love means that we'll be delighted to share with them the gospel of God, yes, but our lives as well. And that's where one-to-one is great, I think. Because you're sharing your life. You're showing your life. You're putting yourself on show. You're giving the time cost. You're saying, hey, let me tell you how this passage hits me. I'm really struggling with X or Y or Z. Can you pray for me? You're sharing your life with them. And that's the best way for the gospel to sink into their hearts as well as into ours. Just as we close, these kind of days, I think you kind of come and you get absolutely battered with stuff. There's two main talks and two workshops and a seminar. So it's worth us thinking about some next steps. So you might want to answer all three. If you're here as a group, you might want to discuss them, or you might want to do them on your own. There might be just one that you want to hone in on. But here they are. In 5 years, what would you like the one-to-one ministry in your youth work to look like? And then maybe on the way home tonight, you can think, okay, what do I need to do in the next, you know, how am I going to get to that vision? Of what I'd like it to be like. What one change are you going to make in the next 2 months? Maybe nothing, that's fine, but you know, what one thing are you going to do differently in the next couple of months? And what do you need to find out more or think about? Is there do you have some questions that you need to mull over or talk to people at church? Do you need to think about some practicalities? Those are great things to scribble down now, so that once you've finished being bombarded today, you've got them to mull over. So we've got minus 1 minute, so why don't you take a couple of minutes to do that, then we'll have a couple of minutes of questions, and then you still have 10 minutes to get to the next place. Okay, we need to wrap up. Sorry for speaking so fast and so long. Let me pray, and then we'll have a couple of minutes for questions. But otherwise, what will happen is we'll let me do questions and not pray. It's the wrong way around. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that it is so amazing. And we thank you for the gifts and the circumstances and the ministries that you give us. Thank you for the ways in which they enable us to know Christ more deeply and become more like him. Thank you for the ways they enable us to communicate and show Christ to others. And Father, I thank you for each one of the people in this room, and thank you that you've laid it on their hearts to think about this one-to-one ministry with teenagers. And I pray, Father, that you would show each of them which teenagers you would like them to draw alongside in this way, if any, and that you would so thrill them as they get together to speak to you and hear from you and spend time as your family together. I pray that you would so thrill them with the gospel that both their lives would be transformed. And Father, we're here because we long that there would be a generation following on from us who are more godly, more passionate, more theological, more sacrificial, more on fire for your son than we are. And I pray that out of this session would arise one-to-ones which, in your grace and by your Spirit's work, would do just that. Amen. There is a sheet here, which I'll leave here. If you want real men, rather arrogantly, I've given you a name and address space. If you want something else, could you just write what it is that you want on the back and the thing? I should say, if you'd love there to be a real woman, there will be in about 6 months. So if you're thinking, I wish real men was for girls, as it were, then it will be. Keep your eyes out. It's coming out sometime in 2013. So we've got a minute or two for questions. Does anybody have any particular burning questions or helpful things that you wish I'd said, that I should have said, and you'd like to share with other people?
Just one thing, just thoughts on, so I mean, so how we did at 14 as a church. Just, I mean, any experience you've had with slightly younger teens?
Yeah, I think it depends on the team, on the guy at that age, I think. So, I mean, I think the youngest I've done is 12 or 13, which is fine. Again, that's where the time-limited thing helps, I think. But it depends very much on the kid, I would say.
I think that's better in that context to, like, maybe hang out with a few of them then and spend a bit of time. Or do you still think there's a virtue to it?
I think there's a virtue to it. If you've got a few of them who are going to be able together in a group to be really serious about meeting around the word, then that's fine. My experience of 12-year-old boys is that once you get more than two of them together, they get a bit giggly and silly and they don't dare answer questions because their mates are there and they might be wrong and stuff. The beauty of a one-to-one is there can be no embarrassment in front of their friends because their friends aren't there. Anybody else quickly before Alison throws it out? No, great, lovely, fine. If you want to sign up for, if you want to pre-order books, some of these are on the, in fact, all of these are on the bookstall. So you go and grab these ones off the bookstall now. But if you want the others, then that's there. Thank you very much, and God bless.